again. Praise the Lord for the special music, and God is always good. There's never a time when God is not good. Praise the Lord for that message and song. If you have your Bibles, if you look with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 1, Exodus chapter 1, we just started last week in a new series on what are we doing with God's Word? What are we doing with God's Word? And the thing of it is what we would try to encourage everyone to do, and it's what God would have us to do, is first of all, love it. We need to have a love and appreciation for the very words of God. And when you understand it and know exactly what sacrifices have been made through the years to have it preserved for us today, we ought to love the Bible. And not only should we love it, but if you love it, then you want to learn from it. And how important it is for us to know what thus saith the Lord. And then once we know what thus saith the Lord, we need to live according to it. And I trust that that's what we're going to get from this series, is a better understanding of the Word of God, the Bible, and understanding more about how to apply it to our everyday lives. The Bible is broken down in divisions, and there's a purpose for every word in the Bible, but especially as we break it down into verses and chapters and books, and then Old Testament, New Testament, and so the different divisions. The first five books of the Bible is known as the Pentateuch, or the books of Moses, which reveal the books of the law. And that is what Israel needed to have in order to live as God's chosen people, is the what God had revealed to them as far as what God's expectations were of their lives. The book of Genesis helps us to understand the book of the beginnings and the beginning of all things. The Bible takes us from eternity past all the way through eternity future. If you want to know about the past and where we came from, go to the Word of God and read the book of Genesis, because it reveals to us the beginning of all things, especially the beginning of humanity, where how we started and how we have, if you will, evolved as God's chosen people. And so we have evolved in that. Now, we didn't evolve as human beings. We know that God created us in His likeness and after His image. And so we have that in the book of Genesis. And now we move into the book of Exodus. And Exodus, the meaning of that itself is going out, or the way out of bondage. And so if you'll stand with me, we're going to be reading here Exodus chapter 1, verse 6 down to verse 14, and then drop down to verse 22. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 1, verse 6, "And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Python and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick, and in all manner of service in the field. And all their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor." And then go down to the very last verse in chapter 1. It says this, "And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, Every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive." Let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you tonight, we thank you for what we've already received in just being in church this evening. And now, Father, as we go into this book of Exodus and look and receive from it that which you have us to an understanding of why we have this book in the Bible, I pray that you would just bless in the study and the preaching and the teaching of thy word. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So Exodus, the way out of bondage. In the book of Exodus, it reveals how Israel was able to become a great nation under God. And I love that because that's exactly what they were. They were God's children and they became a great nation under God's leadership and under God's blessings and under God's direction. Much the similar to the United States of America. The reason that America became the great nation that she is was because America was under God. And that's what our pledge says and reveals to us. But as we understand the book of Exodus and we understand the Old Testament, the children of Israel, Paul writes to the church at Corinth, and it's been recorded for us to understand this, that there was a purpose for us to learn and study Old Testament scriptures. There's a purpose for us to learn and study how Israel did underneath the leadership and the direction of Almighty God. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 10, and if I go too fast for you, you can write it down, but it says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 6, and Paul writes, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea." That's talking about Old Testament Israel and what the book of Exodus reveals to us. All were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did all eat the same spiritual meat, that manna. And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ, revealing Christ in the Old Testament, understanding that. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things, verse 6, now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Verse 11, now all these things happened unto them for ensamples. Ensample is a living example. And they are written for our New Testament church age, Christianity. They are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. This last, if you will, dispensation of time, leading to the rapture of the church. These Old Testament stories and the Old Testament scriptures and everything we can learn from the nation of Israel in the Old Testament is for our understanding and our learning and our admonition that we would be able to not only just learn the historical stories and value what took place, but we can apply these biblical principles to our lives. And you'll find as you start applying these principles, you start learning them, then you will find them backed by New Testament scriptures. As far as they go together, as God has given them to us. So here we look at this book of Exodus and we read in, first of all, chapter 1, Israel is in bondage. Now, if you remember Genesis in chapter 50, and as we ended the book of Genesis, it was Joseph dying, or Joseph getting ready to die. Joseph's father, Jacob, passes away. And Joseph was the one that led Israel, Jacob and his family, to go into Egypt. And this is what Genesis chapter 50 and verse 19 and 20 says. And Joseph said unto them, his brothers, after his father had died, and Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? He says, I did not orchestrate all this. God orchestrated it all. God is the one that allowed Joseph to go into Egypt and become the right hand to Pharaoh so that he would be able to welcome the nation of Israel into the land of Egypt. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. So Israel went into Egypt with open arms,
under God's will. And in Egypt, they were somewhat protected in Egypt, and they were able to, Pharaoh, when he went in because of the blessings of Joseph, gave them the best land. He gave them his land. And he was able to give them all their provisions, and they were not even taxed as at that time all those underneath Egypt would have been, but they were not. So they was able to grow, and they was able to flourish in the land of Egypt underneath the leadership that had blessed them and welcomed them with open arms. And now we get into the book of Exodus, and we find that Israel had grown numerically, and they had grown with the blessings of God upon their lives. And so things are changing now. The Bible says that Joseph died, and all his brethren and all that generation. And with that, now there arose a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. In verse 14, and they made their lives bitter. They made the Israelites' lives bitter. That means that no longer were they welcome occupants in Egypt, but now they become slaves in Egypt. And they make their life miserable. They're in bondage. At this particular time, they're in Egyptian bondage, the Bible reveals to us. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and all manner of service in the field, and their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. And if you get to the worst part of all, they were in bondage to the place where Egypt now is controlling their population. And they are having all the male children killed. I mean, talk about that. I mean, if we just think about that and what would be going on there, we can tell how wicked this would be. This would be something that God has revealed to us concerning the bondage that they were in. And can you imagine the parents of those that would have to sacrifice their own male children? They would be killed or either risk themselves being killed, and how they would cry out to God for deliverance from such evil. Well, this bondage was a type of man's bondage to sin. It's a type of evil that Satan himself holds mankind, humanity, in bondage. We see this, if you look with me, to Hebrews in chapter 2. Hebrews in chapter 2. Now, again, we read the story, and now we associate that with our lives today. And it was for an example for us, and on a living example that we would read and study and then apply this biblical principle to our lives. And so they would acknowledge they were in bondage, and they would be crying out to God to deliver them from bondage. And before we can be delivered from this bondage of sin, we have to acknowledge that we are in bondage to sin. And that we are going to have to pay the wages of sin. And we look to God and cry out to God for salvation. God has a plan for salvation. Hebrews in chapter 2, in the book of Hebrews in chapter 2, the Bible says this in verse 14 and 15. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise, Jesus Christ, took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Israel was in bondage, and there was no way outside of crying out to their God. Can I tell you that we need to see ourselves in bondage? The human nature is a sinful nature, and we're in bondage because of this sinful nature. And because of our sin nature, if you don't get that taken care of, if you don't get delivered from that sin nature, then you're going to have to pay that wages of sin, which is death, and that's eternal damnation, eternally separated from God himself. So we look at the book of Exodus, and we see that now, as God is revealing to us, that before a way out, they had to realize why they had to find a way out. And that is because they were now in bondage to evil. Well, Israel would be set free. In chapter 12 of the book of Exodus, in chapter 12, we find that this is when they were set free. In chapter 12, in verse 12, the Bible says, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And where I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout all your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." So this is, now we find Israel in bondage, and they cry out to God. And so we find that God is going to deliver them. But before God delivers them, you'll find that there were many attempts, but only one sure way. The first attempt would have been Moses himself, thinking that he was the deliverer. And so when he seen the Egyptian beating up one of his brethren, then he took it into his own hands, thinking he could deliver Israel on his own, and he killed the Egyptian. And then they found out that that message of him killing the Egyptian over the Hebrew got to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh now wanted to kill Moses, and Moses had to flee Egypt. His plan failed, because that was not God's plan, at least not yet. He would work through Moses, but he would get Moses on the backside of the desert for 40 years. Well, then when Moses comes back, we find that there were many attempts to get Egypt to let God's people go. Now, we study these all the time, and what a blessing they are, but Exodus in chapter 5, now Moses comes back, and God still wants to show Israel that there was only one way to be delivered from Egyptian bondage. And so there would be many attempts. And we find here in chapter 5 of Exodus, in chapter 5, and verse 1, "And afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, 'Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness.' And we'll find all the plagues. And after every plague, felt like, well, that was it. That was what was going to do it. We're going to be set free." All these different ways, one plague after another, and every time thinking, this is going to do it. And it didn't do it. And the Egyptians, I mean, they looked at this and they thought they were going to be able to, it was just a coincidence, and they would have the victory after victory. And Israel got so frustrated, and they said, we'll never get out of bondage. Nothing is working. And every time, it seems like things got worse instead of better. Until ultimately, God's plan was revealed. And it was through the blood. That was for our example. You see, today and ever since, in this New Testament church age, there's a lot of different philosophies and a lot of different thoughts on how to be delivered from bondage and how to find salvation. But as we look back, even in the book of Exodus, it reveals to us nothing worked but the blood. And the Bible says that not only did nothing work but the blood, but we are to be reminded of that blood throughout all time. And praise the Lord for that, because we hold to the blood as the only thing that can deliver us from the bondage of sin. So Israel set free. Israel was set free, chapter 12. Israel focused on, from that point on, chapter 13, all the way to the end of the book of Exodus, on the promised land. Once they were set free, and now they're out of Egyptian bondage, their focus would be on the future. Can I tell you that the promised land is not heaven? It was this in this life. The promised land represented God's perfect will for Israel. The promised land represented being exactly where God wanted you to be. He had told them about the promised land, and He promised them the promised land. He revealed to them the blessings of the promised land. All you have to do is to get there and by faith receive it. And the blessings of God are there. In the book of Exodus, we find that from after they were set free by nothing but the blood, that's the only thing that would work, and after they were set free by the blood, then what they were to do with the rest of their lives was focus on the will of God for their lives. First of all, in order to focus on the will of God, God wanted them to be aware of His presence. Chapter 13, verse 21. It's for our learning, our admonition. It's our example. Amen? That's what the Bible says. So now we're learning it. We're learning the story, but we are applying principles that are exactly what we are to live by today. Once you get saved, once you understand that Jesus Christ shed His blood to redeem you, as we preached on this morning, and you have eternal redemption, from that point forward, our focus ought to be, God, what's Your will for my life? Amen. And God has a purpose. God has a will for our lives, every one of us. He's going to keep working in your life to get you and to keep you on that path to run the race that God has set before you. Amen? And so now Israel is on that path. And they are to stay focused on God. The first thing that God wanted them to know is that you're not alone. In this journey of getting to where God wants you to be and accomplishing all that God would have you to accomplish, I want you to be aware of my presence. So Exodus chapter 13, verse 21 and verse 22. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day nor the pillar of the fire by night from before the people. It was always there. That's how they would know when they was to pick up camp, put the tabernacle back together. It was a portable sanctuary, if you will. When the cloud started moving, they were to follow the cloud. When the fire started moving at night, that they were to follow the fire at night. They were to follow the presence of God, and the presence of God was made clear to them through the cloud in the day and through the fire in the night. It was right there. What a great time to live. Be able to just see and know the presence of God. Visible signs of a cloud by day and a fire by night. Hebrews chapter 13. We have a better way. God still, as we're on our way to accomplish what God has us here to accomplish, as we are on our way to the promised land or the perfect will of God, and we are looking to accomplish the things along the way that God would have us to accomplish, the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews in chapter 13 exactly what God wanted the nation of Israel to know after they were released from bondage, after they were saved by the blood. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, it says, "And let your conversations be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for He has said, I will never." We have the promise of God, the written down promise of God from the Bible that says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Got it written down. For us to claim at any point, at any time. Well, what we're going through, that's a good verse to memorize. Because Satan, if he can convince you that God has forsaken you, he's got a tremendous victory. If he can convince you that God is not with you, he's got a tremendous victory. And I tell people, don't memorize just to be memorizing. Memorize the verses that will help you. Memorize verses that you have need of. And if you have a question mark whether or not God is with you, and if you have a question mark and you doubt whether or not God is for you, listen to me, memorize that. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That is a promise that God gives every believer. He had in the Old Testament in Israel, he said, I want you to see. And that cloud in the day, as long as you can see the cloud, know that's my presence. If it's at night when it's scary, I'm going to give you a light. I'm going to give you fire at night. And if you ever wake up and are scared, look, if the fire is there, nothing to worry about. Because that's my presence. What a blessing it is as we are serving God, having a desire to be in His will, accomplishing whatever God would have us to accomplish, to know His presence is always with us. As we focus on the promised land, God wanted us to know that His presence is always with us. God also wanted Israel to know, I will provide for you. If you're in my will, you can claim my promise that I will take care of you. Exodus chapter 16. The example of God's people in the Old Testament helps us, because God's the same God today as He was then. Amen. His love for His people were the same then as it is today. Exodus chapter 16. Verses 14 and 15. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoar frost on the ground. When the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. The multitude of people, of God's children, going through the wilderness, the deserts, how would they be watered and how would they be fed? And God says, I'll provide for you. I'll meet your need. You stay focused on the promised land. As you stay focused on the promised land, you'll find you can get some water out of the rock. As you stay focused on the promised land, there'll be, even though you don't know where it's coming from, when you get up in the morning, there'll be some manna out there, and that is for you, the bread for you to eat. It'll take care of your need. Amen. Philippians in chapter 4. Exactly what God has written down for us to understand in the New Testament, for the New Testament church age. A lot of people want to claim this verse, but you can't claim this verse without meeting the qualifications for this verse. Paul gives this verse, but he gives it to the Christians in Philippi that had been in God's will and supporting missions. And so the first verse that he gives them, he says, if you're in my will, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. You can do whatever it is I want you to do. But what I want you to see here is verse 18. Paul says, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. He says to the church at Philippi, he says, you have been serving God and doing His will by supporting missions, and because you are in His will, listen to me, I'm going to give you this promise. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I'm going to provide for you. Your part is stay focused on the promised land. If we stay focused on the will of God and focused on doing what God would have us to do, listen to me, you don't have to worry about what you're going to eat. You don't have to worry about what clothes to wear. You're going to have to not to worry about things like that. All you have to do is what Matthew says and writes and Jesus gives us through the Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you just seek me and stay focused on my will for your life, I'll meet your need. Amen. You can count on my providing for you. What a blessing there. What a blessing there. In God's will, we have the promise of provisions. You think money gives you a peace about being able to provide? That money can come and go. Amen. You never know what's going to take place, what kind of emergencies have. You don't never know what your health is going to do. You never know what business might shut down. Something to put your faith in is not in that employment, not in your ability to work and make money. What you need to put your faith in is God's ability to provide for us. Amen. If we stay focused on God's will, we can claim God's promise of provisions. Amen. What a testimony of Israel in the Old Testament. Exodus chapter 20, go there with me. Not only did God want them to stay focused on the promised land, and as they're focused on the promised land, they're going to first be aware of God's presence. Second of all, they're going to be aware of God's provisions. In Exodus in chapter 20, they needed to be aware of God's commandments and law. In the book of Exodus, you find that God gives his commandments. He gives the commandments, and then he establishes the law that they were to live by. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 1, the Bible says, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And then, as you know, he presents to them the Ten Commandments. God's commandments and law. God wanted Israel to know of his expectations from their lives. That's not any different for us today. God wants us to know of what he expects from us as his children. 2 Timothy. It's the very same thing. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, first of all, in verse 15, it says this. Paul writes to Timothy and he says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." God's word. So what God has provided for us, his word, we are to study it. And in studying what God has preserved for us, the very words of God, then we through that can understand God's expectations of our lives. He would also say in chapter 3 of the book of 2 Timothy in verse 16, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." You might know what God would have you to do, how you to live your life, what you are to accomplish with your life by simply reading and studying and rightly dividing the very Word of God, the Bible. And through the scriptures, we can understand what God expects of us. You want God's blessings? Meet his expectations. You want God's judgment? Turn away from his expectations. The nation of Israel, time and time again, meet my expectations, follow my word, and the blessings were there. Go opposite my expectations and stop following my direction, and my judgment will be there. Same today. But what an example to have to learn from. And then lastly, God's presence demands worship. Israel was to understand this. Exodus chapter 25. As they're focused on now the promised land, in order to get to the promised land in God's presence, they would have to build the tabernacle. Because the tabernacle would give them a place to worship. God's presence would be there in the holies of holies, but they already had God's presence in his visual of the cloud and the fire. But God says, I want you to be able in my presence to worship me. And if you'll study chapter 25 through chapter 40, you'll find all of what the exact everything designed by God with a purpose, and how they were to, first of all, give freely to build the tabernacle, and then everything in its place, everything designed exactly the way God designed it for them to worship Him. Chapter 25, verse 8 and 9 says this, and let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them, according to all that I showed thee after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. And the book of Exodus takes us through and tells us everything about every area of this tabernacle, exactly doing it exactly the way that God wanted to be done. And then Exodus chapter 40, in the last chapter, verse 33. They completed it. By the end of this book of Exodus, they would complete the tabernacle. Verse 33, the Bible says, and he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar and set up the hanging of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And they would have the tabernacle to bring their sacrifices and to do exactly as God would tell them to do to be able to worship God. God's presence demands God's worship. We want God's presence today, we have to worship Him. We have to do things according to His expectation. We can't worship Him any way we want to worship Him. We have to worship Him as He tells us and commands us to worship Him. Exodus, an example of how Israel would exit bondage, how they would be redeemed, and how they would stay focused on the will of God. If you're here tonight and you've never been saved, God's will for your life, first of all, is to get saved. It can only be through the blood. And then to look to Him, to be aware of His presence, to be aware of His provisions, to be aware of His expectations, and to be aware of our worship of Him. Praise God for the book of Exodus. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. I trust you can see the importance of this book in the Bible and why we need to read it and study it and learn from it. It will help us to have a better understanding of New Testament Christianity. It'll help us to have a better understanding of God and His promises. Maybe you just need to come tonight and say, God, I want to serve You. Help me to get back to focusing on the promised land. Or if you will, Your will for my life. How important it is. Father, we bow before You. We love You. Thank You, Lord, for the truth
the Word of God, and how that as we have this Pentateuch, the laws that you've given to us, there's so much there for us to read and study and learn from the life of Israel, your chosen people, so that we might even apply these biblical truths to our Christian lives today. Meet with us now. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray.